some of you might be inclined to say, well, this is a special deal for farmers. No. This is akin to a natural disaster, and state and federal governments have always stood by people wherever they are who have been hit by natural disaster. Some of you might be inclined to say, oh, this is a relaxed or super favourable social security regime for farmers. No.
That's the Prime Minister Tony Abbott defending the government's $320 million drought support package that was finally unveiled today after much foreshadowing. The plan brings forward more generous income support arrangements for farmers and their families, and it also extends concessional loans, which are going to be happening at 4% interest, to eligible drought-affected farm businesses and provides funds for water infrastructure as well. But in addition to that, the plan offers funds for counselling support services, okay. Also, for money towards pest eradication. I wonder how that is a drought response measure. Let's see if we can find out. Wayne Dunford joins us now. Wayne is a farmer. He runs a mixed farm in Parkes in central New South Wales, as well as a cattle farm in Brewarrina, which is one of the worst affected drought areas. And he joins me now. Wayne, I might just actually get you to tell us at the moment what life is like for you, to get a sense of the problem we're trying to respond to here.
Yeah, thanks, Wally. Well, in the north of the state, I think a lot of people aren't aware that this drought didn't turn up just this year. That's really the bottom edge of the Western Queensland drought, which has been up there for just on 2 years. So right now, in that particular area, a lot of people have been out of water for up to 12 months, are out of now, out of food probably for the last 6 months, where there's just been no adequate rainfall to promote any new growth. So people have had to destock, they've had to sell their stock off at a lot cheaper prices. And I think the important thing about all this is, which is why we've probably got a reasonable response from the federal government, is the fact that probably never in northern New South Wales anyway have people been more prepared for a drought, as in fodder put away, grain, you know, hay reserves, and been able to say, well, I'm pretty well prepared for a drought. But I think this has now got to the point where this drought is swallowed those reserves. People are at their little bit at their wits' end on hanging in there, and the financial reserves have run just about right out.
Have you had any assistance from the government to this point?
We have had some state government, some New South Wales state government, where we've gone back to the old freight subsidies for fodder and water and moving the stock to adjustment. Probably a critical thing there was that there was very little adjustment in the last 18 months to take stock to anywhere in the state. So a lot of stock have just been taken to the markets and sold, sometimes at quite depressed prices. So the federal government came in earlier when they went to Queensland with a small package, and now they've listened and done the tour and built on that package to quickly get more provisions out there in certain areas.
All right, well, let's look at the package and some of the details of it, because it's clear that you welcome this. It's clear that you think this will make a difference. One of the features of it is that the income assistance, the payment that will be brought forward, there's an asset threshold. There's an asset test for that to make sure you get it. And the idea of this is that you will be able to have up to $2.5 million in net farm assets and still be able to access support. Now, put that in context for us. How much does the average farmer hold in assets?
Well, it varies from area to area, obviously, but that would be, a lot of people would hold that or more, I think, to be honest. And that's
does that make this ultimately not very useful then? I mean, if people are going to hold that threshold or more, they won't be able to access any of this support.
Well, the critical thing there is, and that's what we probably haven't found out yet, is that we really need to have the farm asset and the family home, which is part of that farm, not counted as an asset. So if that was to happen, we would then, everyone would virtually be eligible. So that's been the issue, even when it was $1.5 million, that those assets included your farm and your home, so most people were not eligible. So to be honest, I haven't seen the fine print on that particular issue yet, but if they exclude the farm, well, a lot of people will be eligible.
Well, it says net farm assets, so I suppose we'll have to figure out what that means once we see the final detail on it. But $2.5 million, the question I suppose it raises then is, if that's the kind of asset test that we're talking about, why wouldn't you as a farmer just turn around and sell those assets and use that as capital for your next venture?
Don't forget, your assets are your farm, your livelihood, your home, and what you work and live for. So you just can't go and sell your farm and say, well, we'll do something when the drought breaks, because those assets are all tied up, not only in the land that you're working with. I mean, bigger properties would have even more than that just in the value of their livestock. So it's just not as simple as selling assets. They're not off-farm assets, sorry, that are, you know, a nice unit down on the coast somewhere or things like that. So that's why they have those tests in, that if there's people that have got that, well, they're probably not eligible. But the average farmer, as far as I know, is 99% of his assets are his farm and his livelihood.
Okay. I'm interested in the loan aspect of this. Concessional loans at 4% interest, up to $1 million or half of the debt that you currently have, whatever is the lower figure. It strikes me that this is taking a loan, so taking on debt, in order to pay debt. Will that actually help?
Well, I think it will when the loan is not overly cheaper than what you'll get at the normal bank. But don't forget there's a lot of farmers that have had loans for a good number of years. It's the way the system works, and they could well be paying 6%, 7%, 8% interest on those loans. So for those people that have got older type loans that, you know, might be over 10, 20 years, to get it at 4% would be a significant help. I think you know, people that want to take out new debt now can get it, you know, if it's a substantial amount, down around 5%. But I think the government's looking at this is that it's at no net cost to them, because they can buy it for less than that, but they can also give farmers a fair help by having a lot lower interest rate than they probably normally are paying.
Just before I let you go, I just want to play you something today that Simon Fagan, who's a farmer from Coonamble in New South Wales, said. He wasn't terribly thrilled about the package. Here's what he said.
It appears to me that it's similar to what was on the table. It's just been rebadged and brought forward. I think it addresses some of the problems, but the immediate problem is cash flow and people need money. Rain will solve the drought, and the farmers will be the first ones to get back on their feet, but the local community is going to be the one that suffers the most for the longest, because we simply won't spend money for a period to come.
Seems pessimistic there, Wayne Dunford. Do you share that pessimism?
Not quite as much, probably. I think after every drought, it rains and it turns around and people become productive again. And I think the secret to getting through most droughts is being able to get through the drought, not incur that much debt that you just cannot be viable and continue on. And I think this is not the be-all and end-all, but I think it's a significant help. Some people won't be eligible for those cheap interest loans because there are criteria tests around it. So it's not a complete package and it's not going to suit everybody, but at least it's a pretty good start. And if this drought continues, it's something that we can build on.
Thank you very much, Wayne. All the best.
Thanks, Wally. Good night.
Wayne Dunford, farmer. He runs a mixed farm in Parkes, central New South Wales, and a cattle farm in Brewarrina, which is in one of the worst drought-affected areas. Listening to all of that is a man by the name of John Freeburn, who's a professor of economics at the University of Melbourne. And this is the other side of the question, really, are the political and economic questions that this raises. And John Freeburn joins me now. Thank you very much for your time, John.
Good afternoon.
I might get you to respond to something that Tony Abbott had to say today about the budgetary side of all this. Let's have a listen.
This is not a handout as such. It is a hand up. So it is rather different from previous drought assistance that has been offered by the Commonwealth. I think it's both fair and fiscally responsible.
Is it fiscally responsible, do you think, John?
Well, I disagree with the Prime Minister. I'm quite happy to go along with the farm household assistance story. You know, we have a society goal of looking after people who've hit really bad times. It's New Start for the unemployment, and the farm household assistance is something like that. But as you suggested, it may be relatively generous, and it's not available to other small businesses that get into trouble.
Well, I'm not sure I suggested it was generous. In fact, it might be the opposite. If the asset test is such that a lot of people won't be able to access it who need it, it might actually not end up costing as much money as the government might think. But we'll find that out, I suppose, later. There is the question of special treatment here. Do you think that it is fair to say this is a very different case to, say, the workers of SPC Ardmona, who were denied federal government money because this is a natural disaster? We're relying on the weather here, which is something that other businesses simply don't have to cope with.
No, I don't buy the special story. You know, the very reality of farming is that it's a risky business. It's risks because of climate, and it's not just drought, it's frosts, it's cyclones and so on. It's risky because commodity prices go up and down like a yo-yo. But farmers know that. There's lots of information. We've had droughts throughout history. We'll have them again. And secondly, farmers are volunteers. We're not forcing them to be farmers. They've volunteered thinking that over the good times they'll do reasonably well, and that will carry them through what clearly are bad times when a drought's on.
Isn't a logical extension of that, given the times that they're facing at the moment, the fact that they've run out of the reserves they were putting away, even if they're being responsible, that we simply don't want farming or agriculture in this country? I mean, isn't that where the logic that you've outlined takes us?
No, well, we have to make a decision. But my guess is if you sell those farms, yes, at distressed prices, they'll sell them for something more than zero. There's a great queue of volunteers who want to be farmers, and very quickly that land will be utilised. And the reality is that Australian agriculture is going through a long evolutionary process, and in particular farms are getting bigger and bigger. New technology, higher wages, is really favouring the successful farmers who can handle the ups and downs, buying out their neighbours who have been less successful at it. And I suspect this process is going to continue. Well, unfortunately, the interest rate subsidy tends to put a block to that natural evolution to a more productive agriculture.
So this is a kind of economic rationalist approach to farming that you're taking, isn't it?
It is, and it's really, if the government is saying, look, we're ending corporate welfare, but oh no, we're going to give interest rate subsidies to farmers, but that's not available to the motor manufacturers or SPC or Edmona or restaurant operators or other people. So we're just pouring resources out of the rest of the economy to prop up the agricultural sector.
Right, which takes us back to the argument about weather being a particular kind of threat that no one else faces, which is, of course, an argument we've discussed and you've dismissed. I suppose I wonder what would happen then if we were to take this line, because we've seen interest from overseas investment, particularly from Asia, the Chinese and Indonesians, and the governments particularly, wanting to buy up farmland here. Is that what the future of farming in Australia would be, that it would be foreign-owned?
Well, some of it will be foreign-owned. You know, the truth of the matter is Australia has always been a net borrower. You know, any year we borrow 2 to 4% of our income to fund our mining, our agriculture, our hotels and so on. That's part of how Australia operates. There's also lots of Australian investors who get into farming and convert ordinary businesses into very successful ones. Some fail, but most succeed.
And thank you very much. Thanks for your perspective, John. Appreciate your contribution.
My pleasure.
John Freeburn, Professor of Economics at the University of Melbourne. And you can share your thoughts with me on whether you think this is some kind of double standard. If you're a farmer, I'd like to know what you think of the package. Will this actually help you?